Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 18th day of July already, Anno Domini 2026, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Because here comes the news. Well, it's the middle of July, so we have this month's Patch Tuesday to talk about. This month was another record breaker, a massive 570 flaws, of which two were zero-day vulnerabilities, 59 critical vulnerabilities, 145 remote code executions, 254 elevation of privileges attacks, 17 security bypasses, and 16 spoofing attacks. Two of the critical vulnerabilities are under active exploit and a partridge in a pear tree. Oh, this does not include the flaws in Mariner, Azure OpenAI, Azure Synapse, M365 Copilot, Microsoft Exchange Online, Microsoft Edge for Android, and Microsoft Entra Provisioning Service that were fixed by Microsoft earlier this month. Last week, Microsoft did warn us there would be an increase in Patch Tuesday security updates as it has begun to use an AI-powered vulnerability discovery system to identify more security flaws across its Windows code base before attackers can exploit them. Of course, attackers have been using AI. Never mind, it doesn't matter. One of the high-risk vulnerabilities is in shared printers and how it's possible to get from one machine to another through that shared printer via all the information that has to be maintained, like orientation, scaling, and resolution changes, among other queue state changes. NTFS, BitLocker, and ReFS all required high-risk fixes to their file handling and security features. That's right, BitLocker had security flaws. Hardware features like OTouch, keyboard, mouse, and touchpad also got high-risk fixes. 46 vulnerabilities were for Edge problems. Who uses Edge? Actually, somebody who texted me yesterday. Windows itself got DHCP, graphics, and media updates, among so many others. So pretty much every single bit of Windows has a bug. Let's hope they got them all. Of course, if you're using a Dell PC, Microsoft blocked the update because it crashes your machine. So you'll just have to pray. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Patch Tuesday, 570 fixes. Your choices are, glad to see they're finding more. What didn't they find? Is that all? I have a Dell and Windows. So far we have 30 votes and Windows is in the lead with 14. And, of course, you can vote in the poll. It's real easy. Head on over to soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And, of course, once you voted in the poll, or even if you don't, although I wish you would, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. You know, I have to say it is commendable that they're finding more viruses. Double-edged sword, of course. It means there are more problems that they weren't discovering beforehand. And those problems are things they used to discover back when they had real quality assurance people that they fired.
Well, a lot of the viruses, too, are just reworks of the old ones because most people out there right now that are trying, the pirates and that are trying to do stuff, viruses really don't accomplish much. It's the spyware and malware where they can steal information and they can make money off of it.
Once crypto came out and bad guys had a relatively anonymous way to collect money, it turned from, you know, spraying Kilroy was here on the wall to, I'm encrypted your data, give me all your money.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and most of this stuff isn't virus problems. Most of this stuff is
remote exploits
and all of that other stuff that
hides on your computer silently.
Right. And so, you know, if you have not been updating, and I know a lot of you don't update Windows regularly, that's an issue. You're going to run into problems. And sometimes the answer is going to be update now and it should fix it. Or if you had updated, you wouldn't have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not much that can be done about that. We like to give solutions here, but there's no magic. Sometimes the answer is we told you 2 weeks ago to update your system. And that would have protected you from this problem. And I know nobody likes being the guinea pig, and I get that. But reality is, if you're using Windows, you are a guinea pig. I don't care how long you wait, you're still a guinea pig. Every Windows system is unique. Remember last week we talked about the GDID? GD stands for Global Device Identifier. and it uniquely identifies your computer. And it does that even if you reinstall Windows with a new version and change your GDID, they can link it to your old version because your system has a unique fingerprint. And they know what that is, and they've matched that to the old GDID, so now they can match it to the new GDID and just keep following you.
Off they go. Mm-hmm.
Every machine is unique, but every machine has a lot of common factors as well.
Yeah.
So you can be caught by a very common exploit.
And a lot of people don't like getting interrupted to install that update. And in fact, that's the joke on the internet, is you're starting a big presentation for the CEO and then Windows Update installing, one of 127.
Yeah, in the middle of it,
yeah. So people don't like getting interrupted during your work. So when you're done for the day, hit update and then go away, because you know you don't turn the computer off at night anyway.
Right. And or if you come in the morning, you know the first thing you're going to do is go off and get a cup of coffee, hit the John, schmooze with people for half an hour, start an update, walk away, let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us using...
And then you come back and it says, are you sure?
Yeah. There's that.
Oh, yeah, that really porks me off.
Every once in a while that happens with Linux. It says, oh, you've already got a configuration file. Do you want to keep it or change it? I always say keep, always. But every once in a while, it installs one out. But that is rare, and 99% of the time, it doesn't bother it at all. It doesn't do that at all. So with Linux, I can start an update and keep working. And sometimes I'll have to reboot, but that's rare. That's only when it has to change the kernel, which doesn't happen that often. Or if it's trying to change the program I'm working with. So if there's a new version of Chrome.
Chrome is always saying relaunch to update.
Right. But that, you know, that one, I get it. I'm using that program. It needs to update that program. Okay, I get that. But again, that's not every day either. Most of the updates happen in the background. Most of the updates happen without, and particularly nowadays that most machines are fairly fast and have lots of RAM and multiple processors and yada yada yada, you don't even know what's happening. You know, it's not it's not a big deal at all. So there's a whole there's a whole group of people who hold off doing updates, and I do understand why you do, but you have to understand that it is a risk, and you are assuming that risk.
Yep.
You know, pull up your big boy pants and assume that risk. Admit that it's yours.
The other issue I see quite frequently is they're worried that something's going to change and they won't know how to use it once it changes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so look through your list of updates, and you can tell the security updates from the feature updates. And so skip the feature updates. You may not want those features. The feature updates often change things. We say in the Mac world, the first digit of the version number, the 26, when 27 comes out later this fall, that's going to be a major change, and things may look different.
Right.
So don't do an upgrade. Just do the updates. The second digit is major bug fixes. The third digit is minor bug fixes.
Right.
And there was a pretty serious WebKit flaw the other day. Affected everybody.
Everybody.
And so the 26.5.2 patch came out to fix that. And yeah, they went back to... Oh, you got that in there later?
That's all right.
Yeah. And Apple goes back current version and two old versions. So they're still patching 15 and 14. But if you have 13, you're not getting those security patches, and you're vulnerable.
Right.
A lot of people say there are no viruses on the Mac.
That's wrong.
The exploits and vulnerabilities are there, and they do affect you.
Right. They call everything viruses.
Yeah. But malicious software.
Malicious software, yeah. Malware, is on every single operating system.
There was a new info stealer that just hit the other day.
Right.
Steals all your info and then uses it to blackmail you.
Right. So if you're running Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, I don't care, you have exploits out there. Are there fewer for Macs than there are for Windows? Yes. Are there none? No.
No.
Hell no. So you need to be updating. Nothing makes me crazier than people who say, and I don't care whether it's Linux or Mac people, oh, we don't get viruses. Well, first, they're not viruses, but secondly, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And so you need to be up to date as well. You need to be as paranoid as Windows people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the new info stealer, calling it Pam Stealer. It masquerades as a well-known clipboard manager, and it steals your passwords, but it verifies they work before it bothers sending them home.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is to be trying to break into somebody's system with the wrong password.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, really.
So, yeah. The bad guys are getting more and more and more sophisticated, which means you have to be more and more and more vigilant. And, you know, we say this all the time, and we still get calls all the time from people. Oh, I got a virus. I got something took over my machine. When was the last time you updated? Oh, I don't update. Okay.
Okay.
Then you know what? That's on you. Congratulations. You don't update, and now you've been hit.
It said I had a virus, and I called the phone number like it said to do.
Don't.
We had a poor lady come in this morning and said she's been on the phone with Apple for 9 hours trying to fix a problem with her computer. And so I turn it on, and Chrome Remote Desktop is asking for permission. That was not Apple. Apple wouldn't use Chrome Remote Desktop.
Well, that's right. Anytime somebody says, call this number, and then they say, let me remote into your machine, hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Hang up immediately. First, don't call the number.
Yeah.
First. There's nobody tells you to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I've been working with a lot of companies over this last couple of weeks for all kinds of things, and absolutely nobody says, call me. Also, none of them say, we'll call you back.
Yeah. Right. At least Apple has a published phone number, 1-800-SOS-APPLE.
Right.
I don't know of very many other companies that have a published support number. No. They want you to do it on chat.
Yeah, they want you to do it on chat now. And they want you to do it from their website. So yeah. If somebody calls you and if you get a virus and it says, you've got a problem with your Dell, call this number. No. If it says, go to Dell.com... Dell.com and institute a chat, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that works.
99% of the time when you get that screen, you know, opens up, your machine is infected mm-hmm. with the virus. Do not attempt to turn it down or you might lose all your data. Folks, in that case, do a three-finger salute and do a restart. In other words, three-finger salute, for you folks that don't know, is Control-Alt-Delete. It will then bring up the task manager, which you can then do a restart.
Sometimes just Control Q works to quit the browser that's giving you the fake message.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Most of these come through the browser. It takes 30 seconds to write the code that would bring that up on someone's screen, and 30 seconds worth of work for, let's say, 1 out of 10,000 people actually calls the number and gives the money. They've made money.
One other thing I was going to say is, once you do the restart and you open up the browser again, it's going to ask you to restore your previous sessions. Say no. Because what it does is it remembers what was open, and it's just going to open that screen back up again. Do not reopen all those tabs. Yep. Start again fresh.
What a lot of people like to do is to turn that on in the browser so that all the stuff they were doing yesterday that they do every day comes right back up again. You get into trouble doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a folder in your bookmarks. Put everything in that folder, and then when you open up your browser, right-click on the folder, and one of the choices, it says open all 6 or 8 or 32 in your case.
Yep.
And it will do that, and then it takes 1 or 2 extra clicks, but you're safe now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although what we've sometimes seen, in the 10 minutes you're restarting your computer, that fake website has been caught and removed.
Yes.
You were lucky enough to be first to get that fake ad.
Yeah.
But that's the key thing, though, too, is because folks will get into like a loop. I've had a couple folks, but it comes right back. Yeah, because you opened up your browser and said restore what you were doing. It's putting it back right there. Say cancel and start fresh.
Right. I had a friend who had his set up so that every day when he turned his machine on and he opened the browser, all his tabs were right there.
But I need my 600 tabs open.
Dave only has 600 tabs?
Yeah.
That's
601.
601. That's, I understand the convenience of that, but it is not a good idea if you get caught by one of these things. You know, we had to go through, and it's a Chromebook, so it's a little different to get into the task manager, but we managed to get into the task manager and fix it. But still,
it's a pain in the butt.
It's a pain in the butt. So, if you're one of those people who has turned that on, turn it off. And yes, it takes a little extra time when you turn your machine on to get your tabs up. Wham, wham, wham.
Well, that's why if for the most part, if I'm going to do any searching with any new tab or that, it's all done. I've gotten into the habit of just using DuckDuckGo.
Sure.
DuckDuckGo doesn't give me a lot of that junk. They're up on, these other fake sites and everything else. And with the Guardio on there, that also, you can, there's a great freebie, folks, that you can do for the PCs, and it's called Guardio. And you can have it on your machine, that one machine, it's free, and it'll let you know if you click on something, whether it's a fake site or not. Or it'll at least caution you. And, it's worth looking into. But DuckDuckGo, by far, when I'm looking for something, it'll go out there and look, do it, and I don't wind up with all the damn ads thereafter. Even after I purchase a product, it's still for the next 2 months selling. Well, you should look at this particular product. I already have it. I don't want it.
Right. Now, that still happens on Amazon. Mm-hmm. If you buy something on Amazon, they will recommend that product to you for the next year.
Yeah.
We found something you might like.
Right.
Yes, I liked it enough to buy it from you.
But I have one now. Thank you so very much. I still get ads for the future for the Fujitsu Stylistic, which I bought. I don't need another one.
Do I want
another one? Sure. Am I going to get another one? No.
Oh,
they do have another section that says buy it again.
That's a different section.
Yeah.
Talking about Amazon, though, I ordered one item, and it came, but I was pissed because it sat out on my front porch all day. And I have specific instructions. Do not leave anything out in the front. Go around back and leave it there.
Unfortunately, that takes time the drivers don't have.
So you answer the question. All of a sudden, Ammon's, did one of those chats and asking me, so what's going on? And I says, you folks don't follow instructions. It's in there. It's been in there since I've been ordering from Amazon. Everything goes to the back door. I don't want porch pirates. You folks, it's going to, raise costs and everything else for you folks.
Right.
And it's inconvenient. Well, we'll try. Since then, everything's been lately coming to the back door. I don't know whether that helps
or not. It also depends. Amazon has their own set of drivers, but they also hire out other companies.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you get the other company, and they're just like, toss it on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
They don't care.
Yeah. You use Guardio. I use WOT, Web of Trust,
mm-hmm.
which is very similar, a very similar product.
Yeah.
What I like about Web of Trust is when I get a list of URLs, a search result, puts a little green or red or gray or yellow circle next to it.
Oh, okay.
Green means it's good.
It's good.
And, all the way down to gray, which we don't know, or red, which is we know it's bad. Right. So
cool.
That one's pretty nice, too. But there are ways that you can protect yourself. There are lots of, again, the other part of the problem is these extensions like Guardio or Web of Trust that you can add to your computer often are fake. So you have to be very careful what you get and where you get it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the easiest ways to infect someone's computer with malware is to put out a similar sounding or, let's be honest, identical looking extension.
And it's so easy to copy and paste stuff nowadays. And matter of fact, AI even makes it even easier for them.
Yep. So be very aware of what you're getting, where you're getting it from, who recommended it to you, et cetera, et cetera. So, there's no way to be 100% safe, but it's on you to be 99% safe. I get it.
Sounds like
it's very hard. And, the reality is that we just want to be users. We don't want to be systems administrators. The truth is we are all system administrators now. Get over it. You are one. And nobody else is going to protect your machine except you. There were lots of companies that used to take responsibility for people's machines, and they realized that it was a losing proposition because humans are human. And will do everything in their power to screw up something like that. So be aware that you are responsible for your own safety and security on your computer. For example, did you know that if your printer is on the internet, someone could sneak into your network through your printer? That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing you need to be aware of. I know people who put their printers or a server onto the open internet through a pass-through on their router.
Because it's so convenient.
Because it's convenient. Yeah. Means I can get to my data anywhere. It also means anyone can get to your network from anywhere. And unless you know how to protect it, you've got a problem. So I'd be very careful. I'd be very aware of what's going on.
There are safe ways to put your server on the internet for you to access it when you're not at home.
Right, and those are well documented, but they're not easy. They're not for the faint of heart. They're not for the beginner. They're not, you're talking about firewall rules and all kinds of things.
Tailscale is getting to be pretty easy to set up.
Tailscale's getting easier.
Yeah.
But you still have to open up a port on your router, and that means you have to be aware of what you're doing.
Not anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I will look into that myself then. I don't need tail scale on anything, but I will look into that.
Basically, it creates an outbound connection on your computer, and so the other computers can follow that back in.
Interesting. Through your one IP.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
each computer gets a second tail IP.
Oh, that's really interesting. All right, I'm going to look into that. But while I do that, we're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Just so I can say this safely, I agree with everything you were saying.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's smart of you. Mark is a wise man. I will say that right now.
I try.
Because I got the dump button.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, let's keep things in perspective here, right?
Yeah.
You were talking about browser security?
Yes.
Before? And, you know, I try not to run too many extensions because we know there are some bad extensions. And some are just very, very obtuse
in
what they do and the information they gather. There's just a few that I run for security, and they're like uBlock Origin Lite.
Of course.
I run Malwarebytes. They have their extension, which is wonderful.
Right.
I run a program similar to ones that you run, but it's from Bitdefender called Traffic Light that gives me an indication of what's going on with either green, yellow, or red little icon next to the search. And I use Spectrum's security suite, which is from F-Secure.
Oh, yeah.
And they automatically load a browser extension for security also, which will come right up on your screen if you go someplace that's infected or suspicious.
Right.
It just doesn't load the page, and it says you want to go back safely, and here's the reason. And so those are what I run. If you're on Spectrum, I'm telling you, run the security suite. It's really good, and it's light.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Why wouldn't you run it? Exactly right.
And I think you can run it like on 10. They give you 10 or 12 computers. You can run it on for free.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you know, if you're running Windows, obviously, you know.
Right.
But those are what I run, and I very rarely run into those problems.
Very nice. Thank you, Mark.
You know, so I just thought I'd throw it out there. Another thing is I notice now. People like me who really haven't graduated to using a password manager and are still letting the browser remember things for you for autofill, they are now requiring you, before they will autofill, they want your credentials, like for signing on your computer, whether it be a passcode or your face identification, fingerprint. It will not. Most of my browsers now will not autofill without it.
Right now, they're starting to realize that there's a lot of problems with letting the browser save your passwords. The remaining problem is that they're still being saved by the browser and can be gotten at, and most browsers still keep them in plain text, which is convenient for you and also for the bad guys.
Well, you can't access those either without your credentials now either. You can't get into it. I know they may have tried to find a way around it, but as of right now,
it's getting better.
I can't even look at them locally without letting my credentials in.
Right. It's getting better.
There used to be a sneaky exploit where a website would ask for something innocuous, and off-screen you know, 100 feet down the screen, it would ask for your credit card information. And your autofill would just autofill every form on the page
right,
without you even seeing that down there.
Now, that's sneaky.
Yep.
Very sneaky. Oh, that's terrible.
Yep.
I mean, I know a lot of people that would have fallen victim to that very
well,
easily.
And still might. I mean, that if you yeah. if you unlock your autofill to fill in a password, and
yeah.
a mile down the screen, it's also filling in your credit card information, that would happen.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough one.
Yep.
That's a tough one.
Yep.
But, you know, we do they do it what they can, and we do what we can. You got to be suspicious of everything.
Everything. All yep. right, thanks, Mark.
Yep, thank you.
We appreciate it. Now that we've scared him to death. Yeah, they get real sneaky, and you have to be real careful. And even so, you can get hit. I get it. But just yesterday, I got a text, an email that said, thank you for your order from Chipotle in Florida. And it gave a credit card number that wasn't mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ending in these four digits.
Sound like your name.
That I don't have a credit card number in that. So
pardon?
My assumption well, is...
Okay, you know your credit card numbers?
I do.
That's the first step.
It's obvious that it was... Somebody put in their email address wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I get.
Yeah, sometimes it's not malicious. It's just a typo.
Right. But since it was none of my credit cards,
Nick,
I don't care.
It was Nick G.
Right.
Instead of Nick F.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, you know, that I get that. That happens. But since I knew it wasn't my credit card number, I mm-hmm. wasn't worried.
And you don't need to call them and tell them it wasn't your number because...
They'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out, yeah.
Well, so the guy's still going to get his order.
Yeah.
It's just the receipt.
He won't get email confirmation, yeah. But that's what the bad guys prey on. You get these fake PayPal invoices. Well, actually, the invoice is real. PayPal has an invoicing service that the bad guys now use to send out fake invoices. And it always says something about if you want to dispute this invoice, call this number. A real invoice wouldn't say that. And so you don't have to... call and dispute it. You don't have to call and say, this was billed to the wrong person. I didn't order this. It's fake. It'll work itself out.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Pavilion, New York. What's up, Brian?
How you doing, guys?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm doing good. Well, first, before we get started, has anyone ever seen David Crosby and Nick Francesco in the same room together? You won't.
You've caught me out.
Is there something you want to talk about?
Well, now that Nick has cut his hair off, he doesn't look quite as much as
right.
Crosby does.
No, he would. They're both brilliant talents, I will admit. So, in their own rights there.
Thank you.
Anyway, it must be criminals on the internet day. I was just calling you guys to fill you guys in on a scam that I nearly fell for. I didn't. But ordered some stuff online, obligatory website. Price too good to be true, of course.
Of course.
And then I got immediate qualification for credit card and tracking and, you know, what you would expect to be a reasonable base for shipping data coming through my email and also on tracking on the website. Well, time drags on, and I'm still getting updates. Things are moving through China, and they're on a boat, and they're in customs, and very, you know, quite a bit of information. Well, then I get a... email that says items are delivered. I'm like, well, no, they're not here. You know, and especially I was kind of questioning it when I saw the update data, a ship from China coming in, but clearing customs in New York.
Nice.
I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
I know geography, so no, it does not.
No, I would think San Francisco or California somewhere.
Right.
So I get it. So this doesn't happen. So I just on a whim, I immediately canceled the credit card and immediately reported, you know, disputed the charge, which won't be a problem. But I got hold of customer service at this website. Beautiful customer service at this website. It's obviously an AI chat, but via email. Well, they're telling me, well, we're sorry you had a terrible experience, and we're authorized to offer you a 25% settlement. I'm like, offer me?
Yeah.
And I said, no. And I get a response back immediately, which is no customer service responded to the email immediately. You know, right. That's like, it was quicker than like a chat. A chat conversation. So I said, okay, well, we found for authorized to perform. I'm not giving you guys anything. Well, they said they're going to authorize a full refund, which I sincerely doubt that. But this website looks so legit, and the tracking information looked really great. And when I clicked on the tracking numbers, it interfaced with a Chinese-looking tracking database. I went down to the post office, and the guy laughed at me and says, we can't track these numbers. We couldn't possibly report this as delivered because we have no way to scan this number.
Right.
So, but if you buy something, and it takes 6-7 weeks to get here, yeah, how easy is it to forget you did that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's exactly right. I have ordered things from AliExpress and forgotten I ordered them, and it was a nice surprise when they showed up.
Mm-hmm. I could see...
Like, oh, I got a present for me. Very nice.
I could see a ship docking in, like, San Diego and unloading half the stuff and then going to New York through the Panama Canal to unload more stuff. Except I just looked it up. It's a 15-day trip by container ship or 7-day by truck.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hmm. And, you know, and that reminds me, talking about extensions and buying things online, there's an extension called Knockoff, which on Amazon, what we're seeing nowadays is massive numbers of fake or identical products. You know, there's some factory in Shenzhen, China that makes a billion of this thing, and they sell it to 1,000 companies who all put their name on it, and it's the same exact thing, and they all drop ship it to you. These are knockoffs. Right.
And I've actually seen identical products, just different names.
Right, exactly. And so what Knockoff does is blurs all those out, grays all those out. So when you go on Amazon, it filters out. It doesn't make them disappear. It makes them a little less visible so that the real ones stand out. And it's crowdsourced, so there are, you know, millions of people who are keeping that database up.
Sometimes it's Amazon themselves.
Yes.
Sell the thing under different names to try and either drive the price up or put someone else who's really making it out of business.
Yep.
I've actually seen that too. But actually, that's nothing new, especially I noticed it coming of age back in the day as VCRs were becoming more homogenized. And you could go to Sun. Or to Silo, or what was the other one, Lechmere, any one of these older places, they would all have the identical unit with just their name on it.
Yep, exactly,
it was identical, and they were all priced within a nickel of each other, too.
Yep.
What's more common now is the different stores get different models, slightly different models. So you can't comparison shop. Because you can't find the same model at two stores.
Right. There's always one piece that's different.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Brian. Sure. We gotta move along.
Oh, cool, man. Well, take care, guys.
Thank you very much. Yeah. A lot of people are making money by drop shipping things to other people. So, you know, I set up a store. You buy something from my store. I go buy it cheaper at Amazon and drop ship it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe make $2, but I do that for 10,000 people.
Yep.
I've made a decent amount of money. And the whole thing can be automated, as a matter of fact. So I don't even have to do anything once it's set up. There are whole services that will do that for you.
Linus Tech Tips did a video where he bought one of the scams. So there's a thing in the parking lot of the big box store.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that's got 15 high-end surround sound systems that are $10,000 each. I'll let you have it for $1,000.
Right.
Because my boss ordered too many of them. We got to get rid of them.
Right.
So he ordered one, bought one of those, because one of his viewers did, just to see what it was. And he said, I knew it was a ripoff when I bought it. But after looking at it all, I feel even more ripped off than then. Because it was so crap. It said it had a 17-inch subwoofer. And I take the cabinet apart, it's 4 inches.
Yeah.
On a 17-inch grill.
Right, right. It had a 17-inch grill, so they weren't entirely lying.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. What's up, Steve?
Well, I called last week about a problem with BitLocker, and you guys directed me to go to your website, and you showed some command prompt and also something you could use from command and PowerShell. And the PowerShell didn't work, but the command shell solved this problem. Thank you so much. I have had this problem for over a year, and what really bewilders me is why my first choice to solve this problem was to go to one of Windows Microsoft's basically a forum for support where you think you got people that are either technicians or they got to rig the AI to help you solve your problems. And the information they gave me was destructive, to erase everything and start all over and lose all the data on it or buy another.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the easiest fix.
Yeah, that's
the easiest fix. It does technically fix the problem.
And it gets you off the phone. And one more thing that they can check, well, their average of answering calls up.
Yep.
Yeah, no, so thank you very much. Oh, yeah, and this guy that just called previously about F-Secure.
Yeah.
I'd like to mention that I got a computer with Windows 10 on it, and it doesn't work with that. There's no more support for 10, so it'll only work with Windows 11.
Oh, no kidding.
We're starting to see that in a lot of the more secure programs.
Yeah. Well, and thanks again. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
We love to hear that. Thank you, Steve. And this is an excellent chance to become a member if we've given you good service. We're finding a lot of companies are abandoning Windows 10 because Microsoft has abandoned Windows 10. Yes, they just did security updates for another year, but those are only security updates. They're not fixing other problems in Windows 10. And people, and when I, you know, if I run a company and I've got to pay my employees to do work, do I want them working on an operating system that's being abandoned? Or do I want them working on an operating system that's actually being used?
So
I wouldn't have them writing stuff for OS 8.
Yeah. I checked F-Secure's website. You have to have Windows 10 21H2. So
right.
If you have an older Windows 10, it won't work.
Right. So you got to be aware that Windows 10 is being abandoned by more than just Microsoft. And there's nothing anybody can do about that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is JD, all the way from Altoona, PA. How are things in Altoona?
Wet.
Yeah. So, we're getting it pretty soon.
We're getting it now.
Well, in so two things. One, about the stuff being abandoned. I had a thought the other day. Do you remember a few months ago one of our callers called in and said that they used AI to edit the binary on an application to change the available resolution?
Vaguely.
I'm still trying to catch up on the podcast. I apologize. What I've been thinking is, I wonder if that same AI technology could be used to go back and edit things like adding an IPv6 stack to Windows XP, recoding drivers for the older OSs, you know, all the things that have been abandoned that people still want to use.
Sure, it can. The problem is, who's going to do that? Right? The problem is not just doing it, but then maintaining it. If I write a program like that and 10,000 people download it and 1,000 of them have problems, I have to fix those problems.
Mm-hmm. And for something something deep into Windows, you'd need the Windows source code for that, which is not easy to get.
Yeah.
There are companies. There's is it Zero Patch? There's a company out, and I'll find it in a second, that when Microsoft releases their patch Tuesday, they only support the current system versions. But there's so much common code between older versions of Windows that this other company reverse engineers these critical patches and releases it for the older systems because of the common code base between Windows 7, 10, and 11.
And it still takes time and effort.
So they have paying customers that do it, but then they release it for home users.
Right, and Zero Patch is available. It costs $30 a year, I think a year, per computer. Yes, per year. $30 a year per computer. But, you know, if you want to continue to maintain Windows 10, or I suppose 7, it's got to be worth $30 a year to you, at least. But, yeah.
Some people who have $10,000 plotters and printers and things,
yep.
It might be worth it to them. But the real reason I called was the conversation you guys had earlier about being able to gain access to your network from outside your house.
Mm-hmm.
My son is building out a Jellyfin server to get rid of having to pay for all the streaming services. The nice thing with that is we can go to Goodwill, buy a disk for $2, and rip it to our computer, and because we have the physical disk, that's legal.
Yep.
So, again, not legal advice, but... So we ran into the same problem, and when you guys mentioned TailScale, that was how we originally solved it. But because I've got five kids and I want to share the system with everybody, it's limited unless you're willing to pay per user.
All
what
right.
I found is that Steve will remember this. Remember Steve on GRC said introduced us to the Edge Router X many years ago?
Yeah.
I got hooked on Ubiquiti equipment, and I've been a Ubiquiti fanboy since. So I've got their cable modem, their Dream Router, second edition or special edition, a switch, and a bunch of other network gear here in my house. The Dream Router line is not only a router, but also a system controller, which includes an onboard VPN terminal.
Nice.
Terminating point. And with their app, granted, I'm taking their word for it on the closed system, but it's a secure connection from whatever piece of hardware you have that app installed back to your home router. So in this case, it puts, you know, when I'm surfing, driving a passenger in the car, driving down the road, and I want to listen to or watch a video on my cell phone, I can just link into my house, access our database, and watch a video.
Yeah. A lot of the high-end routers have VPN servers built in, too. But as Nick said, that's more configuration. Although, I bet Ubiquiti has like a one button, turn it on, and it works. Because they're a very well-known brand.
It's two buttons, but yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the hardest part is making sure once you've got the app on your, like your laptop or your cell phone, is configuring it to access your router at home. That's the hardest part, which basically means remembering what your username and password is for your UI.com account. You log in, and it's like, is this the one you want to connect to? Yep. Done. Connected.
Nice. Very, very nice. So thank you. Very nice.
So just wanted to let you guys know about that option. So if you want to check it out, feel free. And thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. That's what JD is talking about is advanced level stuff, but once you and it is dangerous if you are not
for the light-headed hearted,
right? But once you know what you're doing, setting up something like that gives him the opportunity to do that. I know another fellow who uses a similar setup to watch his movies anywhere he wants, and I get that. But again, he's somebody who knows how to keep it secure, how to lock it down, how to make sure it's safe. And that's not easy. That's not 101 stuff. You can watch all the YouTube videos you want, and you still are going to screw something up.
And an ongoing thing. It's just not one thing that you set up and it's one and done. You got to continually maintain it.
You're a systems administrator. That means you check every single day for exploits, for fixes, for everything else. and the closer you are to the edge of your network, that is to say, the WAN part, the internet part, as this would be, the more important that is. All right, that music tells us we're done with the first hour of this show, but do not despair. There's a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way, a whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, or toll-free 800-790-0415. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a few.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Sound Bites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Before I get into the news, I will say, last week I found a program that will do text, a speech-to-text, to see if I could do a transcript of the show. I talk too fast for it. Way too fast for it.
I usually listen to podcasts at 1.5. But when I monitor ours, I have to go down to like 0.75 sometimes.
All right, Microsoft has unveiled a huge update to search on Windows 11 that looks to be focused on improving the search experience with more accurate results, less reliance on the web, and even a removal of annoying ads and promotional material. The search homepage will no longer show MSN or Bing content, and promotional content and ads will no longer appear in search results. We'll see how long that lasts. Two new phishing kits have been discovered, and attacks targeting Microsoft 365 accounts using techniques that defeat multi-factor authentication. The attack typically begins when a threat actor initiates a sign-in request to a Microsoft service, such as Microsoft 365, prompting the platform to generate a device authorization code. The device code phishing technique abuses the OAuth 2.0 device authorization grant flow by tricking victims into authorizing an attacker-controlled device to access their Microsoft account. Time to start engaging your brain again. Sorry. An industry-wide standard Microsoft invented to protect Windows and later Linux devices from firmware infections has been trivial to bypass for 13 of its 14 years of existence. The discovery was made by researchers at security firm ESET after identifying 11 firmware images, at least one from 2013, that were known to be defective but remained signed by the software company anyway. The threat extends to Windows and Linux users alike, since the exploit can be installed on devices running both operating systems. Any Windows user who has installed Microsoft's June update batch is no longer vulnerable. Most Linuxes are patched also, but users should check the Linux vendor firmware service or consult their distributor. Revocation statuses are verifiable using an audit script, which I will pass to Steve for the Linux users to download and run. As we've already mentioned, Microsoft is blocking July 2026 update on some Dell PCs. The company has confirmed that July's update is causing unexpected shutdowns, poor performance, increased heat, and battery drain on certain Dell PCs. No word on when that will be fixed and the block removed, so Dell PCs remain vulnerable. This is caused by the Intel Innovation Platform Framework Processor Participant Driver. We should note that Dell is not the only manufacturer using this driver. Microsoft has released the Windows 10 Extended Security Update, which includes this month's record-breaking July 2026 Patch Tuesday fixes, along with additional security improvements. If you are running Windows 10 Enterprise, LTSC, or enrolled in the ESU program, you can install this update like normal by going to Settings, clicking on Windows Update, and manually performing a check for updates. Microsoft announced Wednesday, pay attention, that systems running Windows 10 Enterprise's LTBS 2016 and Home and Pro editions of Windows 11 24H2 will stop receiving updates in 3 months. After this date, devices running these editions will no longer receive monthly security and non-security preview updates containing protections from the latest security threats. Customers are advised to upgrade to Windows 11 25H2, also known as the Windows 11 2025 update, which became generally available in September of 2024 as a minor update installed on version 24H2 through an enablement package. Devices running Windows 11 24H2 Home and Pro that aren't managed by IT departments will receive the 25H2 update automatically, but they'll still be able to postpone the updates or choose when to restart. And, of course, you should choose to give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. The update for what was I talking about?
Linux UEFI bootloader.
Oh, the UEFI bypass. Yeah, it's been vulnerable for 13 years. Excuse me, 13 years. Nobody found it that we know of. But they have fixed it. Microsoft fixed it, and Linux is fixing it. If you want to make sure, you want to find out whether or not you are updated, there is Steve's put a link to a program you can download to do that with. I have discovered that every version of Linux I have, which I keep up to date, is secure. So it is likely that you're safe. But again, if you're running an older version that you didn't update, of either Windows or Linux, might not be a bad idea to do some updating. And that fix that Steve, that check that Steve uploaded is only for Linux, by the way. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Wayne from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Wayne?
Hi, guys. I'm afraid I've developed a strong case of Nick-itis.
Uh-oh.
Nick-itis.
Uh-oh.
I keep checking, looking for deals for Lenovo laptops.
I'm so sorry. I am so, so sorry.
And lately, you may have noticed they have a greatly reduced inventory, so I went directly to Amazon, and I just purchased last week a Lenovo P14S Gen 2, so it's 2021 vintage for $405 as an i7, 16 gigs of RAM. It is outstanding.
P14,
what's that number again? It's a P14S, so it's a workstation grade, but it's a super light. It even has a GPU, a low-end GPU.
Right.
And it's sold by Ecotech, so they're a refurbishing company. It was packed extremely well. It was clean, in great condition. The only thing I don't like about it is it came with a touch screen, which I'm not a big fan of touch screens, and it's dimmer than I was hoping. It's 300 nits instead of 400 nits, but it's still really good. I contacted Ecotech, and they gave me, first of all, I wanted to let them know so that, you know, it wasn't affecting other people ordering. They offered to either, you know, have me send it back, and they were offering me to take $30 off, and, you know, as just sort of as a token of my inconvenience or whatever, however they worded it. And I just decided to keep it anyway, and they insisted on sending me $30 back.
Nice.
In refund. And they And now it's still on sale. That was 405. I think it's 409 now. But it actually has an open RAM slot in it. So I added a 16 gig DIMM that I had lying around. I could not be happier. The only thing I did is I did take it apart because it had a bit of a strong cleaning smell, and I cleaned the outside of it with a 50-50 mix of rubbing alcohol and water, and it still smelled. So I took it apart, and there was some residual cleaning solution on top of the on the fan, and I just very carefully cleaned that off, put it back together, and I could not be happier. Look, it's like a brand new laptop. I mean, but it's 5 years old, but I'm going to run Windows on it for a little bit. At a 512, half terabyte of storage, but that I can add if I want. I'm just going to use that for a while. It was actually a Western Digital drive, even. It's such a great deal. I wanted to let everybody know if you're trying to find a laptop on Loot. I mean, the inventory is greatly reduced lately, but I went directly to the mothership, Amazon.
Right.
I could not be happier. We're going to run Windows on it for a little while, as I think, Nick, you say you often do, and then put Linux on it. But, oh, my gosh, it was such a great deal.
Steve?
Nice.
Don't worry. Nick will have one here in 2 weeks.
I'm already on the website.
You're adding to his collection.
I'm trying, like
he accuses me of having too many tabs on my browser.
Tabs at least are free.
Nick's addiction to laptops, we're seriously considering counseling.
I'm blaming you if I get one, Wayne, just so you know.
Well, I was blaming you all week. I said to my wife, I said, you know, I can't help myself. It's all Nick's fault.
Blame Nick.
Blame me. I'll blame you. And both of us can sleep with both eyes closed.
So if you see my wife, expect her to give you a hard time. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you. This is such a great deal, and runs so well. I mean, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of touch screens, although my wife has one. She's like, use it. Maybe you'll grow to like it. So at any rate, and the other thing I noticed, by the way, is like I got really kind of down about it because like the screen went really dim, and I realized the settings on it. So I was on battery. When it goes down to battery, it goes down pretty dim, but if it's plugged in, it's pretty good.
Yeah, so. You can change that, but of course, the brighter it is, the shorter the battery life.
Yeah, it eats a lot of the battery power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the battery, I think, checked out is in Lenovo Vantage, checked out is at, I think, 84%. So not too bad for a 5-year-old laptop.
But no, it really isn't. And
the batteries are actually replaceable in this unit, too.
I was about to say, in a lot of Lenovos, you can replace the battery. And generally,
yeah,
that's a fairly light laptop.
It is light. I will say that if you do get one and you do anything I did, be extremely careful with prying it apart. I used a guitar pick to get it apart. You got to be very careful not to break it. And it's just there's some videos out there for strategies on how to take it apart without breaking it, because they crack a little. Slightly cracked edge where it's right where the there's an RJ45 port, and it's really tight around there, but you're supposed to pry it from the top and work your way down, because it's like a little rocker joint on the bottom, and you have to be careful not to break the little tabs off. And I this got successful, but you got to be really careful.
Right. Nice. Well done. Now you've got me looking at that website, and I'm blaming you.
Yeah, Ecotech.
Yeah, I will check them out. Thanks.
Sorry.
And by thanks, I mean a different word.
I'm sure I'll get an email from Elaine.
Right. All right, thanks.
All right, have a great day, everyone.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, one of the things you need to know, of course, is that Woot was bought by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
so that a lot of the things that you can get on Woot are things you can already get on Amazon. Often they are overstocks or extras or whatever, so they're often cheaper, but they come up less regularly than they used to. It used to be that Woot bought pallet loads of stuff and then sold them off. Now it's just whatever Amazon hasn't sold to anybody else.
And it's there for some markdown.
Right, but again,
you got to realize some of that stuff can be used, folks.
Yeah, and they will say if it's used, they will
gently
tell you.
Used, yeah.
Well, what's the word they use? Renewed.
Renewed.
On Amazon, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I have to admit, what I was looking at this week were the XTE Ink 4s, which are a little 6-inch e-reader, which doesn't run anybody's operating system. All it does is read EPUBs. So you put the EPUB on with a cable to your computer, and you can read it. And it's designed for people who are trying to get away from doom scrolling and all of the other distractions that people have. And it's only $60. It doesn't have a touch screen. The XT3 doesn't have a touch screen. And it doesn't have so it uses physical buttons to turn things and all of that. But it's pretty neat. I was more impressed than I thought I would be. I didn't get one yet, but I, you know, I was looking.
My tabs are cheaper still.
Right, $60. How much can you go wrong? That's what I paid. That's essentially what I paid for my futuristic, my Fujitsu stylistic. I mean, $69.95, whatever it was for $68. I bought the tablet with a keyboard.
But how many hands do you have, and how many computers can you type on at once?
Two.
But you got a swivel chair, so you can swivel around the whole.
Exactly right. I just have to rearrange my computer room.
Mm-hmm. It's like asking Neil Peart how many more drums he needs, or
that's exactly
Edgar
right.
Winter, how many more keyboards
I'm
he needs.
I'm an artiste, mister.
Would you like some more? Yes.
Yeah. We once years ago did a skit about selling Osborne ones, and that was part of it. I'm here to look at the Osborne ones. Okay, I'll take it. Well, let me show you. I'll take it. I want to just give you. Let me take it. Okay.
All those training classes you had to take.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. What's up, Fred?
Hey, I'm just grateful for you guys showing up on this wonderful Rochester day.
It's a beautiful day in my neighborhood.
We started out with Canadian smoking trees and now thunderstorms. So
yeah, this weekend is the District 2 fun fly out in Phelps. So
no, it isn't.
Maybe
tomorrow.
People are going to be camping at least.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's supposed to be better.
Yeah.
This is the kind of camping I always did. Rain, thunderstorms. Yep. Every time I went camping.
Exactly. I used to do a lot of canoe camping in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And yes. Rain or shine. I'm trying to add a browser web of choice on my Brave browser on my Linux machine.
Web of trust?
I'm not seeing it. Isn't it? Oh, is it web of trust?
Web of trust, WOT, web of trust.
Maybe because I spelled it wrong.
There you go.
I'll pop that link to the top, too.
He's got it.
Yes,
Steve,
please.
Dave is putting what's his name? Steve?
That's Steve.
Is putting.
I'm Dave.
What? Since when?
32 years.
And the.
Call me Andy.
And the other.
Don't call me late for dinner.
Sorry, go ahead, Fred.
And the other one was the Amazon. Does that work on Android phone as well?
Oh, I haven't tried it on my phone yet. I don't know. Knockoff. I don't know if it works on the phone. I do know it works on my laptop. Laptops.
That's an extension?
Yeah, it's an extension for Chrome, so it should work, but I haven't tried it.
Okay. Oh, that's what I'm playing with today, so thank you for that.
Yep.
I have not yet gone to Woot, so.
Good. Yeah, it's addictive.
It is.
Well, you're starting with Watt, then you go to Woot.
Watt to Woot.
W-O-T to W-O-O-T.
Yeah, I just, I have more stuff than I know what to do with, and that's part of the addiction.
Yep.
I'm gonna start a group of Woot Anonymous.
We don't have
a problem.
if we could quit any time, but I'm not a quitter.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Fred. Good luck with WOT and Knockoff.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, bye-bye. Yeah, that's part of it, is there's just always new toys.
Mm-hmm.
There's always new toys. Yeah. One of the things that we used to do back in the day was my wife and I would go driving around so she could do garage sales until I started finding laptops. Apparently her addiction is okay.
Yeah.
Mine not so much.
So far my wife hasn't complained because I've been doing a lot of work with the antennas, but it's just wire. And you buy a 100-foot wire for, maybe $15.
Yeah, right.
She can handle that.
Right.
But it's out there. I'm out there pulling down something. What are you working on now? Well, I want to get a 6 meter. Okay. But I got extra wire for that one. Oh, okay. It's relatively, right now, a cheap hobby. Until I ask for a radio.
Now you got a problem.
Then we got to do some negotiations.
The Bofangs are fairly inexpensive and pretty decent. The Bofangs are fairly expensive.
Yeah, if you want to do just 6 meter or 2 meter or 77 meters, both of those for doing the repeaters and all that. Yeah, you could get up a Bofang for around $24. Matter of fact, I've got one that I like just listening to the police and fire and all that around the areas. But I can also use it as to hit one of the repeaters because it's got dual band on it. So on the top band, it's scanning. But then if I want to hit one of the groups that are in the area, I can slip it down to the next band and do, say, 70 centimeters and go out and call through there. And that only requires a tech license. So for most folks, that if you're wondering, because there are three levels of licensing, but any of the Bofangs that you want to listen to, you can pick up and just listen to, and it's relatively cheap. I mean, like you say, you can get them for around $30-$40.
You don't need a license to listen.
No.
You only need a license to talk.
Right. Matter of fact, you don't even have to get a radio for that. You can do, if you want to just listen to ham radio, you can do what they call, there's websites called SDRs, and they're set up, and you can scan the bands and just listen to people talking. Just like you can listen to the BBC and everything else, you can listen to ham radio conversations going on because there is no privacy. I mean, you can't just get onto, a band, say, frequency and say, yeah, this is private. You can't listen. Sorry, it's the airways, folks. It's like the old party lines back. A lot of the
CB radio.
Yeah, listeners wouldn't remember, but back in the day with phones, they had party lines, and that's the way it was. You didn't have your own individual line. You picked up the phone, and you'd hear all the neighbors talking and listening. And, I mean, some people would even just, be on there, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, I'll be right back. And they'd set the phone down and go off their cooking or anything else, and you're trying to make a call. But I'm talking to Marie. I'll be back to her in a few minutes.
Right.
You had to pay extra to get a private line back then.
Yeah.
Now you pay extra to do a party line.
Right.
Three-way calling. Actually, that mostly built into most cell phones now is three-way calling. If you want more than that, And then you use a free video conferencing service like Zoom or Meet or something.
Well, that was one of the things they couldn't believe. Because my house, when I moved into it, it had, I think it was either 6 or 7 phone lines, separate cables, because the phone company didn't want to, you know, figure out down in the basement what they were. And one time when they went in there, they knocked down 3 of them. This truck came in, knocked down 3 of them. So once I went to cell phones, I cut them all off.
Sure, of course.
You know, and
back in the day at our house, I had 2 phone lines, one for the house and one for the BBS.
Yeah.
And then I added a second line for the BBS, as a matter of fact. So I had 3 phone lines coming into the house. And it was not terribly expensive back in the day, but that's how, you know, that was it. It was landlines or nothing, right?
Yeah. Well, for the business, I had 2 lines for that, 2 extensions. And then I had the fax line. And then I also had my own private phone service coming into the house. But nowadays, you know, most folks don't have that anymore. It's all, you know, everything's gone to cell phones.
I had one person say, oh, you need to send me a fax. I said, what is it, the 1800s? So there were no faxes in the 1800s. Yeah, there were. Look it up. But the thing is,
a samurai could have sent a fax about the death of President Lincoln.
That's exactly right. That is exactly correct. But who uses fax anymore?
When I ordered those books from Simon & Schuster, I had to fax the order form in. So I had to go to one of the copy places. It was $9 to send a fax. Because I had to put a cover page on it. They won't let you do it without a cover page.
So that was the other thing. Well, there are places that will do that now. There are websites that used to, at least.
UPS will still do it.
Oh, that's nice. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. If you give us a call, it is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just a few.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
Imminent threat alert. Flash flood warning.
Okay.
That's coming onto your system, too.
Yeah.
LastPass is warning users, too.
Yeah.
And they're warning them about an ongoing phishing campaign that is using fake security notices to direct people to fraudulent websites. The phishing emails are crafted to resemble legitimate corporate communications from LastPass, notifying recipients of updated security policies and directing them to a landing page that impersonates DocuSign and claiming to provide a document for review. These emails are also going out to Bitwarden users. So if you're a LastPass or Bitwarden user, be very careful. The U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control sanctioned 2 individuals and 1 entity for enabling ransomware attacks against U.S. organizations. They accused Russia of coordinating a network of hacking groups linked to cyber attacks across Europe. New York became the first state to pause all construction of massive new data centers after Governor Kathy Hochul announced a 1-year moratorium on Tuesday. The statewide ban applies to data centers using 50 megawatts or more, and it won't be lifted until the state figures out what consistent standards for responsible data centers development in New York should look like. Across the U.S., calls to halt data center construction have multiplied as Americans grow increasingly concerned about risks of pollution, rising energy costs, and diminishing water supplies. Zoom is warning of a critical vulnerability in its desktop client and software development kit for Windows that could be exploited by an unauthenticated party to hijack accounts. The flaw affects Zoom Workplace for Windows, the Windows VDI client, and the Meeting SDK for Windows. Make sure you're on the newest versions, which have been fixed. Samsung says it won't delete all of your data if you opt out of AI training. Rather, it will only delete data collected for AI development. In other words, it sounds like it's deleting data from Samsung's end rather than the user's end. Data included here includes step count, sleep, medication data, cycle tracking, and even your full health records, including treatments, tests, and more. Your data belong to us. Move along, citizen. Speaking of which, genetic testing company 23andMe, now Chrome Holding Company, has agreed to pay $18 million to settle claims from a coalition of 43 lawyers general that it failed to protect customers' genetic data. 23andMe disclosed a massive data breach in October of 2023 following credential stuffing attacks that went unnoticed for 5 months from April of 2023 to September of 2023. Not even your genetic makeup belongs to you. In fact, when you use 23andMe, one of the things you're signing over is your right to your genetic data. And just to make Dave happy, Motorola has launched the Edge 70 Max, its latest flagship phone. It's designed for power-intensive tasks like streaming video and mobile gaming. Alongside having a huge 7,100 milliamp hour silicon carbon battery and rapid wire charging support, the Motorola Edge 70 Max is the first Android phone to fully support 25-watt wireless Qi2 charging since Google launched the Pixel 10 Pro XL last year. Over a wired connection, the phone supports 90-watt charging that can provide up to 12 hours of power in just 8 minutes.
Now, see that?
And you can make all of us happy by giving us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415.
That's got to come out with the Pixel 12.
Yeah.
If this is really...
Well, the Pixel 10 has a lot of that already. It doesn't have a huge battery, but it's got the super fast charger.
Yeah, but now for the bigger battery. Because that's the only, you know, that's going to be another big selling feature. Because everybody is, you know, now watching streaming videos and everything else on their phone. And, you know, if the battery's not going to hold up and you're constantly looking for a charger or someplace that you can charge it, won't need it.
Yep.
You'll be able to do. And it's going to be a better selling point because, you know, what other features can you do with your phone? Yeah, you can sit there and text and you can search the web. All phones can do that.
And I will argue that almost every innovation or every enhancement to phones in the last 2 or 3 years has been mostly useless.
Yeah.
Most people don't care whether you've got 50 megapixels or 80 megapixels. Most users don't care if you've got 256 gig or 512 unless you take a lot of pictures. And most people don't or don't keep them.
The eyes can't see it.
And your eyes can't see it unless you're doing giant posters.
Yeah. The big pentagrams that Kodak used to do.
Right. Other than that, you're showing somebody a picture you took on your phone. Who cares?
Yeah.
You could do that with 20 megapixels and it would still be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this picture I took of my dog. It's blurry anyway because you moved when you hit the shutter. Don't pretend that you need 80 megapixels to show me a blur on linoleum. It's ridiculous. Whereas you're right. When it comes to something tangible, like a phone that lasts 2 days on a charge, not 1 day.
And faster charging,
and
even.
Super like, if I can say, oh, crap, I forgot to charge my phone. I've got 10 minutes. Let's put 12 hours of battery life into it.
Oh, good for the day.
I'm good for the next day. How do you go wrong with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, and this has been, you know, because they've been looking for something to ramp up sales. That's the key.
But the problem is, what Apple talks about all the time is how light and thin their phones are. Well, how do you get light and thin phones? You put a smaller battery in it.
Yeah, but most folks are putting battery cases on them, these OtterBoxes and everything else.
Mm-hmm. I bought the thinnest, lightest phone in America, and then I put a 2-pound OtterBox on it.
Because you're going to drop it.
Right.
And the biggest thing that people worry about is, yeah, they're walking along, and all of a sudden they drop the phone, and all of a sudden now they got a cracked screen.
Right.
Because they didn't do it, but they had a thin phone,
or they had a they put the power box on the back because it only lasts 10 hours.
Yeah.
Well, yes, that's what you pay. You paid to have less battery life. That's what you paid for. Mm-hmm. You paid more for that. Congratulations to you.
You remember when tiny phones were all the rage?
The
Motorola StarTAC.
Yeah, the fold.
You'd hang around in your neck.
You hung it around your neck, but it lasted 3 days.
Yeah.
Or the little flip phone. You know, the little
flip
phone.
It made phone calls.
It made phone calls. And you really only used the battery significantly when you were actually making a phone call. I've only got 4 hours of talk time, but it lasts 4 days if you're not making calls.
I mean, when I go out, to do my POTA and that, I'm tethering it to both my laptop and this other little tablet that I use for logging. And, I mean, it'll last me, the whole day, but it's not doing a heck of a lot. No, whereas if I was watching a movie or something else.
Right. I'm surprised you don't have a solar panel on it.
It's just more bulk to carry around. I mean, if you saw, as it is.
We just started looking at it. There are camping solar panels.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
come in a little carry bag.
Oh, yeah. They
give you 100 watts for 4 hours.
Yeah. It's just the thing of it is, though, is you got the panel, and then you've also got to get the inverter.
No, it comes as a kit. The whole thing comes in the one thing.
Mount it to the roof of the car.
Yeah. For me, though, like when I go out to a park, I've literally got this. It's in the back of my car right now, this cart. That I pull out, and I put my battery, because I carry a battery pack. It looks like an old ammo box, and it's got a battery in it with all the hookups that I can do.
I keep wanting to get one of those for my plane batteries.
Yeah.
Well, I built one, and it's got a 32-amp-hour battery in it,
mm-hmm.
and it's got hookups for USB and the cigarette lighter. And Anderson plugs, because Anderson plugs are the ones that I can hook up for the radio that'll give it the 12-volt. And they call them Anderson power poles. But it's all hooked up there, and I've even hit the button on, and it'll show how many volts are there. It's 12-volt battery.
I was chatting with someone this week about the airplane batteries and the computer batteries are the same, basically, LiPo batteries. Except one lasts for 10 minutes and another lasts for 10 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's the draw.
So people will put a watt meter on their plane, and you might be drawing 500 or 600 watts.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a motor. You are turning electricity into physical motion.
Mm-hmm.
That
energy.
Takes energy.
Yep. Yep.
That's how that works. Whereas here, you're just turning electricity into electricity.
Yeah.
But so, hear me now and remember me later, though. This is... What they're doing there with the phones is going to be something that's revolutionary that other phone companies should jump on so they can have some promotion, especially with the holidays coming up. I mean, granted, this is July, folks, but people are already thinking about the holidays and, kids going back to school and everything else, to give them something that, they don't have to go wandering around looking for, a charging unit for their phone. Boom, that's going to be a big selling point.
Well, and what's happening right now is, I'll guarantee you, every other phone company is watching to see how well this sells. And if it sells well...
I can't see how it can't. I mean,
well,
to be...
the other thing is, if we're going to have... If the EU is going to make every phone... the battery in every phone replaceable...
User replaceable with simple household tools.
Right.
Which is their key phrase.
If that's true, what we're going to see is the return of the secondary market of, you buy a second battery and a charger, and now you can charge 2, 3, 4, 5 batteries, I don't care how many, throw them in a backpack, and go hiking. and you've got 3 days worth of battery now. So we're going to see more of that as well.
Could be.
I used to have, back in the day, I used to have two batteries for my Motorola phone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we all did.
Because you could just pull it out.
Yeah, pop it out.
I had a charger at work and a charger at home. And I would go to work and I'd pop one in the charger and the other in the phone. And then I'd swap them, go home, put one in the charger there. And I was ready to go 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see more of that happening again. I guarantee it.
I think that remains to be seen.
Well, if and I believe
because
it's
again, it's convenience. Now I got to remember to take a battery with me.
Or you just buy a battery and leave it at work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you just buy a second battery, leave it at work with a charger. Every morning you come in, you swap the batteries. You're done. You come home, you swap them again. Now I've got three batteries, two chargers, and a phone. Not that much more money, to be honest. And I can do whatever I want, wherever I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go on vacation, I just take all three batteries, charge them all up, and I'm off. Now, carrying three batteries on a plane is a problem. I get all of that. But most of the time, it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, throw it in your baggage.
Yeah.
Pack bags.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can see that things are going to change. Did the EU pass that? Is that a law now?
I think it did.
If it did, the choice is going to be either companies start making two different models of every phone. That ain't going to happen.
No.
Or we're all going to win. I don't see Apple or Google or Motorola or anybody making a different model for Europe and a different model for the United States. Just too much. It's too much.
Starting in February 2027.
Okay, so next year.
So that gives companies a year to redesign their phones.
Right. So, yeah.
Theoretically, if they choose to.
Or not sell them in Europe. That's the other choice.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that.
Now, there are exceptions.
Oh, of course there are.
Smartphones that retain 83% of their battery after 500 charge cycles may not need to comply.
That's almost all of them these days.
Yeah.
And I know
this exemption
watches,
is particularly relevant for high-end devices like iPhones.
Right. Watches and earbuds mm-hmm. are exempt. I know that.
Because they're virtually, especially earbuds, virtually impossible to open up.
Yeah.
The other half of it, too, is reducing e-waste. So if you can replace the battery, there's battery in the e-waste.
Well, yes and no. I mean,
so you have just the battery in the e-waste, or you have the whole phone in the e-waste?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they try to encourage.
Well, most phone companies will take their phones back for recycling.
Right. Yeah, take them back, and they give you a few bucks for it.
Right. I'll tell you, I have a laptop addiction. What I've been looking at nowadays are some of the non-Android, non-iPhone phone operating systems like mm-hmm. Graphene and a couple of the others. Problem is, I don't have any phones that'll take them at this point.
So you don't want to get tied to Apple. You don't want to get tied to Google either.
Right. Or Motorola or Samsung or any of those people. So you can replace their operating systems with Graphene OS and there are a couple of others. That's the only name.
I got an old Pixel phone if you want to try it.
I do want to try it. I absolutely do want to try it.
I got an old Pixel, what is it, a 5?
3 or 5? 5 should work.
I'll see what I get. Yeah, it's just sitting in the drawer, yeah.
I'll play. Like I said, I'm not going to throw away my phone to use it, but I would like to play with it. I'd like to see if it works and see what happens when you try it.
Okay, in 2 weeks, that's one thing we should also remind folks.
Let's not forget.
We will not be on the air next week.
Live. They're probably going to run.
They're going to run a rerun as
a best of, which is like every episode.
As Rob is going to be doing some work here in the studio, so we will be taking a well-deserved day off to spend with our families. They're going to be shocked. And
do we still want to do the Sunday night?
Sure. I'm deciding if I want to tell them at work, so I'll just leave at 11 and go home instead of getting stuck there till 2.
There you go.
because they don't listen to the show, so they won't hear this?
Yeah.
Got it. Got it.
Then I can get my morning nap in.
No, it just felt funny last week. You know, the 4th of July there, right. Not coming in. And it's like, Of course, I've been busy with my granddaughter, so.
Friday night, I was halfway through writing the news, and I thought, wait a minute. There's no show tomorrow.
So, yeah. So, we won't be on next week live, but we will be running one of our previously broadcasted shows.
And theoretically, it's only going to take a week.
And we will be back
following week.
Well, he's already started emptying out some of the studio here now. And it's not like it's a big room, folks. I mean, you get...
It's a tiny room.
Yeah, you get more than, you know, 3-4 people in here, and then it's considered an orgy.
Yeah. You better like those people.
Yeah, because... The three of us, thank God, like
you
I said,
have showered at some point.
Like I've said before, us being together has lasted longer than my first marriage. And we've been together now, 33 years doing this show, the three of us. And it's kind of remarkable.
I think I finally 36
years.
36.
Yep.
Jesus.
Coming up on Labor Day weekend. I think I finally beat my wife's first and second marriages combined.
Oh, she didn't tell you about number three?
I'm number three.
As far as you know.
Yeah.
What is that?
She didn't tell you about that one?
When your spouse is upsetting you, you're starting to sound a lot like my ex-wife. I didn't know you were married before. I wasn't.
Exactly.
It's like the guy says, the wife goes, yeah, I think you should sell your motorcycle. And the guy goes, yeah, you're starting to sound like my ex-wife.
Yeah.
When were you married? I wasn't.
Right.
Would you?
So we've been on the air 36 years, almost 37.
36?
And we just passed 17 years on Jazz 90.1. 17 years. 17.
That feels like just yesterday.
Yeah, I still remember.
Next week we can vote.
Next
year.
I still remember that meeting at the restaurant with Rob, right near my shop, my old shop. I forget the name of the place. It's a bar and grill type of thing.
Olympia?
No, this was right on Winton Road and Brighton Henry on a town line road there.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
There's a McDonald's on that corner. And a Wendy's across the street. I know every fast food joint in the area.
That's very nice.
No, not at Brighton Henry on a town line road and Winton Road.
In Winton, yeah.
No, that's where the Hess station is.
Yeah.
And then my plaza where I
work. Yeah, you were farther up town line road a little bit.
I was right there on the corner of Brighton Henry on a town line road and Winton Road. And then there's the Winton Plaza in the back. But anyways, we met
that
there.
Foxy's Delicatessen was over there, right?
Yep. Rob... told us to show up because we had just been let go by the other station. Walked in there, and he says, all right, glad you guys could meet. He goes, I got a slot open starting on Saturday from 12 to 2. When do you want to start? And I turned to him and looked at the calendar. How about June 5th? Okay, let's order.
Yeah, pretty much how it worked.
Yeah, and then went ahead and ordered dinner.
There was lunch. Very little discussion. And again... Back then, 17 years ago, it was all music and us.
Yeah.
He took a huge leap of faith that people would follow us and that you would support this station. And you have, and we very much appreciate it.
And he had to go to a board of directors. I mean, granted, Rob runs this station, but he reports to a board of directors.
Right, and he had to explain to them that the music station, the jazz music station.
In the middle of a Saturday afternoon, prime time Saturday.
Was going to put a talk show on about computers. Okay.
I would have loved to fly on the wall for that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been so cool to see that. And it's like they're going, huh? Why did we hire this guy?
Right.
He's been smoking stuff.
Wasn't he pretty new here, too?
Yeah.
At the time?
Yeah, he'd only been here a year or so. year or two, because we were still over at that other station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they cut us back for a bit and then switched us
for sports.
Sports was the number one draw there. So, but yeah, so the reality is that you folks kept this show alive.
Yeah,
you kept it here. You've kept us on this station. And again, it is your generosity, is your willingness to step up when we have pledge drives that keeps us on the air and keeps this show going. And we are eternally grateful to you for all of that. And again, that said, we won't be here next week, but that's so that we can get some upgraded, hopefully, studio equipment.
Yeah, been badly needed. I mean, like I say, we've been using the same stuff for over 17 years.
Yeah, and they had to cut back a little bit on what they were planning because we didn't make our goal. But the reality is that they did manage to figure out what they can do, and so next week we'll see, and it'll be a joy for all of us to figure out what actually.
Yeah, don't be surprised, folks. The first week back, there aren't some hiccups. I'm still learning this phone system.
Right. This is a phone system.
Yeah, it's a VoIP system.
This system belongs to the school, so they put that in, and we're still learning that. But that music tells us that we are indeed done for this week. We are indeed done with this entire studio. But we will be back in just 2 weeks with a brand new studio and the same old show. The same old Dave Enright, the same old Steve Ray, the same old Nick Francesco, and the same old you. And we want to thank you again for, all the support. All the great stuff that you folks have done for us, and we appreciate all of it. And we are going to take a week off, but that'll be okay. We'll recharge our batteries a little bit, speaking of which. They're not replaceable, but they are rechargeable, and we will do that. So we will see you in not 166 hours, but in, 332 hours. And be good to one another, will you?